Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are back in 3 John, and we are continuing the discussion on why God's people ought to support biblical missionaries, a major theme of this, the shortest book in all the Bible. And you may recall that I have 5 reasons altogether, and 3 of them we have already covered, which means we have 2 to go. So if you've been with us on previous broadcasts, you are already thinking about this subject, and I thank you for listening. And if you are a first-time listener today, then I hope you'll catch up, because this is a very important topic which does not get a lot of attention. So thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, July 24. And we can only do this because we have radio listeners who help us with the financial cost of this broadcast. Here's what John writes to a Christian by the name of Gaius, apparently a man who was wealthy enough to have a commodious house in which to provide hospitality for traveling preachers and evangelist missionaries, and sufficient income to help them financially on their way when they left him and went on to other assignments. And he had already been doing this, and John commends him for doing so, but he also urges him to do it again. Apparently there are some other missionaries who are traveling his direction. They have been sent by John and by the church in Ephesus, and they are on an assignment. They are going out to preach the gospel. They are traveling from place to place. They're coming to the city where Gaius lives. We don't know what city that is, but we can tell generally what territory it is found in. And he is being urged to help them as he has similar missionaries in the past. And here's what we read in 3 John verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully, or more literally, you are doing faithfully whatever you do for the brethren who are strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. Please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Why should we support biblical missionaries? Number one, because of their personal sacrifices. This is review. They went forth. They left their home, their families, their jobs, their comfortable surroundings to go out and do the work of missions. Go out and preach the gospel where it needs to be proclaimed. They have made personal sacrifices. We should encourage and help them for that reason. Number two, because they represent Christ. We read, because they went forth for his name's sake, not for their own glory, and probably even more importantly, they went forth for his name's sake, meaning that they represent Christ properly, appropriately, soundly. They are men of sound doctrine. They are men with a biblical understanding of the gospel. They are men who properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and because they represent Christ, then they represent all of those who belong to Christ, including you, Gaius, as well as all born-again believers, and therefore, you ought to support such. We ought to support such, because they represent Christ. Number three, why should we support biblical missionaries? Because the world does not support them. The world will not support them and should not support them, and we shouldn't expect it to. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, that is, from unbelievers. God's people are not to be trying to raise financial support from the world, from unbelievers, from the general community at large, but only from the family of God, the people of God, the redeemed of God. They are the ones who have an interest in the work of the gospel. They are the ones who have an obligation to support the work of the gospel. The Gentiles will not support people like this, but God's people should. Number four, because it is a Christian obligation. That has been implied pretty strongly up until now, but now we get it straight out. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such. We therefore ought to receive such. It's an obvious conclusion based on what has gone before. That's why the word therefore is there. We therefore ought to receive such. What do you mean therefore? Because of the personal sacrifices which they have made? Because they represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they are not supported by unbelievers? Therefore, we ought to receive such. If they receive no support from the world, as they do not, then they ought to be supported by the church. It is a general obligation, not just to Gaius, not just to the wealthy. Are you listening? John is writing to Gaius, but he's not writing just to Gaius. He doesn't say, therefore, you ought to receive such, Gaius. He'd already done that, you know. He'd already done that. I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. Please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Gaius was already providing hospitality and financial support for traveling missionaries, and John is urging him to continue doing so. But as he lays down the reasons why Gaius ought to do it, he broadens the application out, not just to be directed to Gaius, but to be directed to all of us. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such. Not you, Gaius, though Gaius is included in the we, but so are you, and so am I. We ought to receive such. He shifts from the singular Gaius, which he used in verses 5 and 6. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to receive such. It is a general obligation. And therefore, shifting from the singular you, as he's writing to Gaius, he now shifts to the plural we, which includes John and Gaius and all believers. It includes me. It includes you. It's a general obligation. You do understand that, don't you? The New Testament tells us that in a number of places. I'm thinking right now, 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. What's he talking about? Look at it in context. He's talking about God's people financially supporting those who preach the gospel, particularly those who are ministering to them, as Paul makes clear in Galatians chapter 6, as I'm turning to find that just now. Let him, verse 6, Galatians 6, 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Yes. And again, that's just a couple of several texts that I could cite, but I'll stop there, to simply support, to reinforce this general obligation which is given to all of God's people. And here it is again. These who are faithful gospel preachers and evangelists, traveling from place to place, ministering the word of God, cannot expect that the unconverted are going to support them in the places where they're going, places where there may not be Christians, may not be churches. They're going into pioneer territory in some cases and are preaching where the gospel has never been preached before. How are they going to be supported there? By the people of God in other places who recognize the opportunity and the responsibility and provide the funds so that they can go. It is a general obligation to the people of God, but it's more than a general obligation. It is evidently a moral imperative, a standing obligation. We, therefore, ought to receive such, ought to, and that's present tense. It's a standing obligation. God's work should be supported by God's people. Should. Not it would be a nice thing if it were, but it should be. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're not under this obligation. Categorize yourself accordingly. I know people who claim to be Christians, but they are very, very reluctant to give their hard-earned money to the work of the Lord and are very defensive about it. I have talked to a number of these people over the years, and they have their reasons and their objections, but it really boils down to this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, God has not only saved your soul, He's liberated your pocketbook. He's caused you to understand that He owns all of you, the fact that you are alive is due to the grace of God. The fact that you are saved is due to the grace of God. The fact that you are doing well financially is by the grace of God, or even if you only think you're doing adequately, that's by the grace of God. There are so many people, God's people around the world, who are struggling. You cannot believe the difficult circumstances financially that some of God's people are in other parts of the world. And you are so blessed. We are so blessed. And all of this, plus many more things we could say, gives us an obligation. We who have been so blessed ought to support such. It's a Christian obligation, as well as a wonderful opportunity. We ought to support, we ought to receive such what? Such men, such what? People like these, people who qualify in the way that we have described here, those ought to be received, that is, received with the purpose of helping them, encouraging them, financing them, sending them out on the work which they are doing. That's what we ought to be doing if we have been saved by the grace of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.